This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
Well, now there is a quarterback battle. I really, truly believe in the offensive weapons around whoever is going to be the quarterback.
BYU's not in dire straits, people might think. And I don't think this changes the number of games they win.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. Hope you're all preparing for a fantastic 4th of July holiday. We can't think of a better way to move into the weekend than by inviting a guy who understands good barbecue and good fireworks and certainly good football. He is Hans Olsen of KSL Sports Zone and our BYU football radio analyst. Hans, happy early July 4th.
Man. Yeah, this is my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving and 4th of July, where you just shove your face full of the best types of food. I've already got the smoker piping smoke through, and I've got a brisket actually on the smoker. We're getting ready for 4th of July, and we've got a full day at the pool set. Like 4th of July with the food and the family and the patriotic, all the salutes, and it's as good as it gets, so I'm excited, boys.
What time are we supposed to show up?
I was going to say, it sounds like we need to show up at your house.
Well, let me tell you, if you show up past one, it'll all be gone. it might not, because my son Tommy Rock is now on a mission, and his 335-pound frame won't be porking down my brisket. So I might have a little extra for you.
Duly noted. All right, well, naturally, we mentioned, you know, your football along with holidays and barbecue. So let's start there with the current edition of the BYU Cougars, who now are in search of a new quarterback after the seemingly imminent transfer of Jake Retzlaff. We await news there. So how do you assess what is happening at the quarterback situation and the battle that will ensue to be BYU's QB1?
Well, if anything, it's entertainment, boys. And that's what football is supposed to be. This is full entertainment, and it should be entertaining for BYU fans. Yeah, nerve-wracking. Yeah, a little bit worrying. Yeah, but very entertaining. And I'm anticipating this camp more than I've anticipated a camp in a long time, because watching Trayson, McKay, and Bear all go at it to figure out 1, 2, and 3 on a depth chart is actually really exciting for me, guys.
When you look at the three players that, you know, are in the mix for this, with a little under a month away from the start of fall camp, who do you believe, as of today, has the inside track for the job?
Well, I would say McKay Hillstead, because he's an in-state product. He's got D1 starting background. I'm sure Aaron Roderick's more familiar with him because he grew up here in Sky Ridge, and Roderick is very aware of every quarterback in the state, and I'm sure knows all of his upside and all of his pitfalls and is probably aware of him. And I think McKay's probably very aware of Aaron. So I think there's probably a relationship that's been around for a long time. And then I would go with Trayson, probably Borgay, number two, because he came in, he's had some D1 experience, and he's got some overall experience. And Aaron Roderick's probably pretty familiar with his game. But then you've got the unknown in Bear Bachmeier. And a couple of interesting things about Bear Bachmeier. One thing that I found out when I was just watching some film was his brother's Hank Bachmeier. And for those of you that don't know who Hank Bachmeier is, a lot of BYU fans should, because I think they saw him play against BYU maybe.
In 2021, and he ruined BYU's 5-0 start to the season, Hans.
That's right. So Hank Bachmeier is very familiar with, you know, BYU, and I'm sure BYU fans are very familiar with Hank. Well, that's the family. So good things and bad things. Number one, Hank ended up playing for 3 different universities. So there was kind of a back and forth where Taylen Green started to come on at Boise State. He was sharing some responsibilities. He ended up at Louisiana Tech, left Louisiana Tech and transferred to Wake Forest and finished out at Wake Forest. So played for 3 schools. And here Bear is already on his 2nd school, coming from Stanford now to BYU. And, you know, I always kind of squint and hesitate, like, okay, well, what's his commitment? when the going gets tough, does he get going or does he leave? And if he shows up and he's 2-3 weeks into camp and he's still three deep on the depth chart, how does he react? How does he handle his business? Does he straighten up? Does he say, it doesn't matter, I'm not going anywhere, I'll fight through whatever I got to fight through? Or does he say, well, I'm gonna transfer? So we're going to see. He's going to be tested because he's not going to be given this job. I do think that he's got some of the potentially the best upside. I think he could be maybe the best of the three, but he's going to have to fight through some really hard times, and he's going to have to say to himself, I'm not going anywhere. This is my final destination. It doesn't matter if I'm finished third on this depth chart. I'm staying and I'm going to fight, because that's the attitude that you've got to carry into this fight. So it's good. I do think McKay's probably got the inside track. Right now I've got Trace and Bourguet as number two, and then I've got Bear as the dark horse with the upside. 6 foot two, 230 pounds. He was at one point rated as the number 11th quarterback in the entire country by On3 and some other sites. So he's got tremendous background. And then I was watching film of him this morning. I've been getting ready for Big 12 Media Days. I leave for that coming up on Monday. And I want to be able to answer some good questions about him. So I was watching some film. And, you know, he's good. He's good. He set every crazy high school record you could think of. And he was all thing high school that you could ever imagine. He could run and outrun anybody. He could outshift anybody. And he threw well on the run. He throws fades on the run really well. Throws fades off his back foot. He's got a lot of arm power. So a lot to take in there, guys. But we're working on it, making sure that we get BYU fans the best information we can.
Hans Olsen, already hard at work, KSL Sports Zone BYU football radio analyst. Understandably, there are many in the fan base, not saying all of them or even a certain percentage, Hans, but a strong enough contingent that I felt it on social media that said, wait, BYU has to make a quarterback change now? Well, there goes the season. How are your expectations shifting because of this quarterback battle and the unexpected shift for QB1 at BYU?
Well, I would say, you know, you've got the contingent that's on one side of the scale that's like, oh, well, I think we're going to be better off. And I think we can improve on 57.9% completion rating. And I think that the quarterbacks we've got are better than Jake Retzlaff. You've got those people. And then you got the doomsdayer that is currently digging a bunker in their backyard, and, you know, getting ready for the complete fallout. So you've got these two opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, I'm probably right in that 7-8 mark. I think this could cost you a couple games, two or three games. I think that Jake Retzlaff had incredible leadership, and he had an incredible drive and desire. Even that Arizona State game, you know, BYU's down 3 touchdowns, and Jake Retzlaff believed, and I was in the booth calling the game. I believed. Like, I was like, geez, I think that there's a real good chance here, and there was a final drive, and there was a throw that was probably two, maybe 3 yards too far inside. I think it was to JoJo Phillips.
Yeah.
That, you know, if that thing's just a little bit further outside, that's complete, and this game is completely changed. He was a gamer, and he brought a lot of belief to the field. And I've been on fields with quarterbacks that have crazy belief and that a team believes in, you know, whether it's Brandon Dolman in that 2000 season, my senior season, where he brings us back against Utah for Lavelle's last miracle, an incredible win, or it's on the field with Peyton Manning, who could absolutely command a huddle, or Joe Germain, who was one of my favorite quarterbacks to play with, and I was playing center at that time. These quarterbacks have more responsibility than just, oh, he's got a good arm, or, oh, he's a low percentage passing rate. Oh, he runs well. Like, there is a lot that goes into a great quarterback, and Retzlaff had a lot of those intangibles. He just had this belief that when he stepped in the huddle, everybody thought, okay, we can do this. We can win. We're behind, but we can win. So I worry about it. I'm a seven and a half on that, you know, in crazy delusional to crazy digging bunker skill. I think that BYU is still on track to have a phenomenal season based off the defensive return. But I do have a little bit of worry.
Hans, how much do you believe that whoever ultimately ends up with the starting quarterback job will be helped out with the offense and the offensive weapons that are back and around him this year? How much do you think that the production that comes back and the type of players that will be around them can help overcome some of the inexperience, at least on the field as a BYU Cougar, that we may see?
I think it can help tremendously. And you know, the reason I don't panic in these situations, there's a couple of reasons, but one of the main reasons, I don't panic much with Aaron Roderick. I just don't. And I don't know if that's because he's an old teammate of mine. I don't know what it is. I have a belief in Aaron Roderick. You know, I was just talking about the belief that a quarterback brings to a locker room or to a huddle. Aaron Roderick kind of brings that belief to me with the offense. He always has. And Fessy Satake the same. So there's that. And then I do believe there's going to be a good run game. I truly believe that Waylon Lapuaho is one of the best interior linemen that BYU's ever had. And I believe that Sonny Moccasini and Austin Leusa, I think that they're going to be fantastic on the interior. I know that you guys are going to ask me about players that are going to surface as big-time contributors, and I'll throw this in early before I get to the others. I think Isaiah Jada could possibly surface as a fantastic bookend. So excited to see Isaiah Jada take the next step. I have a lot of belief in it, guys. And then you throw LJ Martin in there, and the next guy that I expect to have a breakout season, Sione Moa. And I don't – that's why it holds me at a good 7.5. Just, you know, I'm close, getting close to an 8. And when I'm at a fall camp and I'm watching McKay Hillstead, who I've got a lot of belief in, I actually do. I was just watching film of him against JMU in 2023. And you go watch the film. You know, he broke every Utah State freshman record in that game against James Madison. 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. Can't remember the completion percentage, but it was solid. So I've got a lot of belief in him. But camp will tell. But to your point, Chip, I trust Aaron Roderick a lot. I trust LJ Martin a lot. I trust Chase Roberts, Parker Kingston, and JoJo Phillips a lot. And I'm more optimistic than I am concerned, for sure.
Hans Olsen is on BYU Sports Nation. We'll finish with this, and you alluded to it. What other players do you want to throw into the list that deserve the moniker of breakout potential?
Well, I sat down with Kalani Sitake for like 2.5 or 3 hours. Bless his heart. The guy can fight through a 2-hour conversation with me. He can fight through anything. But this was just a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I talk about each individual player with him just to get ready for the season and then to get ready for a couple of bits that Scotty and I do. And the guy that I could see his eyebrows lift and he got the most excited about was Siale Asera.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a guy that I know people are kind of familiar with the name, but I think it's a guy that people better get really excited about and be ready to be the staple. Because if teams know what are good for them, they aren't going to try to get their quarterback outside the pocket because Jack Kelly will rip them in half and Isaiah Glasker will chase them down and they will destroy them on the edges. I think that Jack is going to be a problem off the edge in different pass rushing. I think Glasker is going to put pressure and force plays back inside. And I think Siale Asera is a better linebacker than Harrison Taggart. And I think that that is probably the reason you saw Harrison Taggart enter into the transfer portal. And I fully expect Siale Asera to show BYU fans and to show his team why he is kind of looked at as the next one. He's good, guys. He's good. His legs are under him. He's working his butt off. He is strong. He's fast. He's healthy. And I can't wait to see Siali Ekserra. And then the other one that coming out of spring ball that I was really excited about is Sione Moa. You guys watched him run through spring ball. He is built like a bowling ball. He is tough to bring down. You know who he reminds me of? An old teammate of mine. His name was Mark Yatawaya. And he now coaches running backs. And he is kind of the Mark Yatawaya body type slash usage slash ability. A bowling ball like very quick and shifty figure. I don't think that he gets in the open field and goes Ronnie Jenkins on you, but I do think that he lowers his head and delivers a Manasseh Tonga like devastation.
Yes.
So I am thrilled to see Sione Moa take his next step. So LJ Martin and Sione in the duel in the backfield are going to be great. Siali Ekserra, and then the other one that I talked about earlier is Isaiah Jada. BYU needs him to be a breakout player. I need him to be a breakout player. As you guys know, offensive tackle play in the Big 12, and I've stated this now a couple years of really watching the Big 12. Offensive tackle play, I think, is the most consistent, most usable, and most important position in the Big 12 that I've nailed down to this point. I think that it's a conference that's loaded with great offensive tackle play. And it's a conference that's loaded with great edge rush. So you better have great offensive tackle play. If Jada doesn't surface and if they struggle to find those bookends, even with the interior three that I mentioned, it could be a problem. But I've got high hopes for Isaiah Jada. We saw him when he rotated in. He looked good, guys.
Yeah.
He looked good at the back end of last season. But I miss Connor Pay, man.
We all do.
I miss Caleb Etienne. Like those guys were security blankets. I could snuggle up with them and eat barbecue with them and talk fat guy talk with them. And, you know, it was the best. I'm going to miss those guys. And I'm optimistic again, but a little bit skeptical. But then, you know, TJ Woods, guys, he blew up on the scene too, didn't he, with his offensive line coaching ability.
Indeed. Hans, this is the perfect way to end this conversation with snuggles and barbecue.
Yeah, we'll be over there tomorrow.
We'll see you. We appreciate the time and the insight, brother. Great stuff. We'll talk to you soon. Happy 4th.
See you guys. Happy 4th of July.
Great stuff from Hans. If you miss any interviews, shows, or deep blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
BYU football jumps into the top 25 of recruiting rankings for 2026, plus Delaney Gibb put on a show for Team Canada women's basketball. What exactly did she do? We'll tell you next in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
Excellence is the expectation.
Cambry Barber. Give. She'll take the three. Yes! Three on the way. You bet!
Wide open for three.
He really is trying to develop his whole staff.
Play hard, play right, play to win.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B and have moved this conversation over to the Cougar Council Room because we are welcoming in the newest member of the BYU women's basketball staff. As an assistant coach, he is Andrew Curtis. Andrew, welcome to BYUSN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so have to know, when did BYU become an option for you and the now next step in your basketball coaching career?
Yeah, it was kind of a long process. Lee obviously got the job, and we were pumped for him. I congratulated him, and he reached out. And we've had a great relationship over the years. He's, you know, been in recruiting some of our players. So that was really pumped for me to kind of be in that conversation. And obviously it took some time, and we worked through it. And, yeah, I got the offer, and our family is ready to jump on and get it up here, get to work.
Why was BYU a good fit for you? And as Spencer mentioned, that's sort of the next step for you.
Yeah, I think in the interview process, you're almost interviewing them as much as they are you, and what Lee has in place in terms of his staff and what he's about and his family. It felt right. You know, I think it's important for me to, when we brought up the family, it is it a good feeling? And also, what Brian is, his vision and all in, being all in. And I mean, everybody feels the vibe around campus. Like, every sport is absolutely killing it. So for me, it's just trying to keep adding to it. Like, let's all elevate the athletics and keep doing what we're doing.
What kind of opportunity do you sense with this BYU women's basketball team? Because there is some lingering frustration, and the program is, as Lee said, not where we want it to be. The expectation is excellence. We've got to get there. So, again, circling back, what type of opportunity do you feel like you have here?
I think it's a clean slate for Lee. Like, obviously, Lee is Lee. Everybody knows what he's done on his playing career. But for his coaching side, like, have a tremendous staff that's ready to work with him and push that vision to the next level. Like, the girls are working. Like, in the vibe in the room, like, you feel it between the coaches and the players. It's really good right now. So I think we're excited to use that as our kind of that seed. We're going to let everything else grow from there. But his vision and how he's going to go about it, like, we're all on board, and the girls are believing. So we're excited to get on that court, get that Marriott magic rolling again.
You obviously have been a coach for a long time. So, I mean, you know how this works. I'm curious your thoughts on making that jump from high school to the college ranks.
Yeah, I was talking with a couple of coaches today. Like, I think the biggest thing for me is the NCAA compliance, making sure we're staying and learning that, you know, when to call, when not to call. But yeah, I have a lot of experience over the last 20 years in terms of national travel with our high school team or our club. So I think it's important for me just to be connected within the group, like, really just try to add value where you be a part of the team. Like, I didn't invent the wheel, right? Yeah. Basketball's a pretty simple game, right? You just, let's work together, let's put it in the basket. And so I think that's a big thing for us, is to just keep doing what we're doing and just elevate it, though.
Yeah, it's probably, this time, instead of being the one that receives the calls, you'll be the one that will be making those calls to everybody, right? The tables have turned a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Some of the players we've coached, like, hey, can you have a person call me? I'm like, it's 6 a.m. I know you're East Coast. Like, so, yeah, it's a little adjustment, but we're excited to, my family's really excited to get up here in the Provo community and keep going.
Andrew Curtis is on BYU Sports Nation, new BYU women's basketball assistant coach after 9 successful seasons at Perry High School in Arizona, where you did great things. We talked with Paisley Harding yesterday about her new fit and responsibilities. So at this point, because everything is so new, what has Coach Kamard said to you about what he expects you to do in your specific role on the staff?
Yeah, I think a big thing for me is going to be the scouting and the recruiting. I obviously coaching Madison Carr in the Big 12. I've had a lot of eyes the last year watching her games and keeping tabs on the Big 12. So I think I got a good feel of what we're going to be experiencing there, and just having a good attack plan for how we're going to attack those teams when those games come up. But I think the big thing is scouting, player development, and obviously the recruiting, like, helping. And I think the big thing is I have a wide variety of everything I've done. So just being that, like I said, the connector, really just trying to pieces outside of our BYU home. Like, how do we get them here? How do we get everybody involved? And just the joy of that this campus is going
to
bring.
You mentioned you're no stranger to BYU. This program has come calling to your high school program about players. And you also have a connection to the Barcelos. What's the relationship like with the Barcelos for you?
Yeah, I obviously got to coach Alex prior to me being on the girls' side at Corona del Sol. We have a great connection. He's absolutely killing it in Spain right
now.
Yes,
he is.
So, yeah, it's family, young kids. So I'm just super pumped for him as he kind of takes that next step in the professional career. And we're excited. I mean, obviously, boys, girls side, like, let's develop what we have in the room, and let's get some more that want to go pro. Like, Emma's going over, and obviously Paisley played. She's been a great resource for me. So let's get some more professionals in here. Let's put them out, and let's get them, you know, onto that next level. But yeah, Alex is great, and we're super pumped for him.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you served in the Navy.
Yep.
So how has that impacted the way you coach and just the entirety of how you approach the game of basketball?
Adaptability. Like, in the Navy, every day you're going to be confronted with something that maybe as a 19, 20-year-old kid that I wasn't really ready for this. And so you just got to adapt. And I'm big on solutions, right? I think a big thing we always talk about is anybody can point out from the stands what's wrong. it's pretty easy to figure out, hey, we're turning the ball over, what we're doing. But a big thing is the adaptability and use maybe the things that haven't gone right, and let's find solutions. And then let's put it to use. I think that's a big thing in the Navy is you got to adapt. You're in different environments. One day you'll be across the country. One day you're at home dealing with things. So it's a big thing is adaptability and be able to handle every situation that comes arise.
You mentioned your family a couple of times. What is your family dynamic?
Yeah. My wife, she's a therapist. She owns her own practice. So going to be kind of doing some virtual stuff, here and then back in Arizona. But my daughter, she's 12. She's kind of the best way to describe her is the remember the Titans' daughter in the stands. Like, you're going to hear her. She's going to be loud. She loves it. I'm sure she's going to be trying to pull up scouts and film. And then my son, AJ, big football guy in soccer. So, and then the little one, two-year-old, Alexander. So we're super pumped. Just an environment that loves athletics as much as we do. Like, I played three sports in high school. My wife played. Her father was a college coach. We love sports. And there's no secret, BYU, you're going to find a pickup game anywhere across the world in any in a church building. So we love it, and we're excited to just be a part of the BYU family.
Well, the good news for your kids is, and I don't know where you guys are going to ultimately end up living, but it's not going to matter, because wherever you go, there will be tons of other kids that your kids can play with. It's the beauty of being here in Utah.
Oh, I think our staff, there's multiple kids same age that are running around. That's a part of his culture. It's family. And he's throwing the Frisbee with family members after camp yesterday. And there's not a lot of head coaches that do that. Yeah. Like the little details that they're going to or matter when we, with our current players and the ones that are going to be coming in, just the family atmosphere that he's really, it's natural to him. It's not like he's putting a show on. So that's what got me over the edge in our family. And so we're super excited.
BYU women's basketball assistant coach Andrew Curtis is on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned your wife is a therapist. After a tough loss, do you ever feel her going to some of her tactics to help you move through the frustration?
I'm her number one client. We've really challenged ourselves prior to being at Perry. We've played 54 games against 18 different states opponents. So we're really it's a challenge. Like we don't shy away from a challenge in our household, and she really is there to. We call it self-care, really try to, come back down to earth and understand, like, let's just turn the page the next day. We use a term with the kids, swipe up, like get to the next one.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So we just try to turn the page quickly. And, she's amazing. I'm not here if she's not my wife and she's not she's my best friend. So she's the engine that makes this thing go. She's awesome.
If you like challenges, and you brought up the one you faced at Perry, then coaching in the Big 12 should present something like that, if not on a grander stage.
Yeah, that's the Big 12. Is like, there's some conferences, they kind of have an identity. Like, they're big, they're physical. Big 12, West Virginia is going to be quick and press and after you. And then you got, Audie Crooks, a little bit slower in terms of their pace of play, but they want to get inside.
So good at Iowa State.
Yeah. So we're the adaptability. We'll be able to play different ways and match up correctly and in terms of scheme. So we're our ability to do that. But yeah, the Big 12 is a great conference and really good. I mean, obviously, the other teams have reloaded as well. So we're excited to keep working with our girls and get them ready.
Great stuff. And great to have you at BYU.
Yeah, we're
excited to work with you.
Yeah, we're pumped.
And I'm glad that every other coach is, when we talk about Audie Crooks and others, they're all talking about Delaney Gibb, right?
Yeah.
How do we stop Delaney Gibb?
Yeah, no, that's, our cupboard, they're ready. Like, they're working. And I think that's, we use the term game of opposites, right? They got to worry about us, too.
Yes.
We were going to have a plan for them, but we want to be in attack. Like, we always want to be in attack. And Lee's, and the rest of the staff are doing a great job. Like, we're, there's no secret, BYU and shooting the three and scoring points is going to be a big emphasis. So we're going to get up and down. We're excited.
Let's go. Coach, great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for having me.
Swiping up to the next season. On to the next.
I like
Let's go.
That.
Who is your top breakout candidate? We are asking all of you for BYU football in 2025. More responses to our question of the day after the break. Who are you swiping up on there, Jason?
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Covers it, inside his 10, right running away from tacklers. Parker Kingston hauls it in. Oh my goodness, he's going to go. Touchdown.
I like the way we looked in the bowl game. Let's do that game one, please.
Here's the more punt return touchdowns from Parker Kingston. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Last week, we had a chance to go to the BYU Media Golf Classic. Jason's wearing the polo from it today. Jerem Jordan spoke with the aforementioned Parker Kingston on how he's handling summer preparation, what excites him most about the upcoming 2025 season, just a few weeks away, and why he's clearly the best golfer on the team.
Parker, are you the greatest football player and golfer from Roy High School?
Yes, ever.
There's never been better.
Never been better.
Who's in the running against you?
I don't know. Is Jim McMahon good?
Can Jim play?
I don't know. I don't know if he's good at golf.
I do hear that you are the best golfer on the team. Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's by far. I mean, it's not even close, really.
Who's second?
I would say it's a tie between Tanner and Chase. Yeah.
Tanner Wall and Chase Roberts. Yep. They can both
swing. They can all, they both can swing it.
This is the second time I've seen you here the last 2 weeks. Cedar Hills Golf Club, getting a lot of Parker Kingston. What's it like to come out during the summer, play with the guys, play with some of the media, play with the sponsors and that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, I love golf, so any chance I get to play golf, especially if it's free and you get gifts. So, I mean, it's been fun. I was with the Koch people last week, so it was good to meet them and play with Coach Enna, and he's a ball, and he's so freaking funny on the course. It's hilarious. But, yeah, it's been fun. We're doing a little video later today, so it's going to be a fun time.
Can't wait to see that on social media. That'll be fun. Tell us about some of the coaches that can play, because I hear Jay Hill and Fessy Isatake are two of the best.
Fessy, I think, is the best by far, and then Jay is, like, right there, right behind him. I haven't played with Fess in a while, so it'll be interesting to see when we play how good I've gotten compared to him, but he's a stick.
Who's the worst player among the coaches?
Oh, I don't even know.
Nice answer.
I have no idea.
You're like this guy.
Yeah.
No, it seems like they can all play.
Yeah. I mean, they better be able to. They play so much.
What are you guys up to? Because I know you're strength and conditioning a bunch. We've seen videos of wall sits in the IPF.
Yeah.
We've seen stairs at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. You guys are working hard to get in shape for the season.
Yeah, no, right now we're just workouts every day besides Wednesday. Wednesday's recovery day. And then Friday, we got the Friday finisher always. And last week, the stadiums were brutal. They were, it was brutal after, like, the sixth one. I was off the top, throwing up off the top of Lavelle.
Off the top?
Yeah. So,
look out below.
Yep. There were actually people walking below, and I'm, like, throwing up, like, trying to get it so it doesn't hit them. But, yeah, it was bad.
Parker, is throwing up at Lavelle Edwards Stadium a thing for you?
It's got to be. I mean, I told Coach Phyllis, I was like, it's been my dream to throw up off the top of Lavelle Edwards.
And you did that last Friday.
Yeah, and I did it last Friday.
That's awesome. Has that play gotten better after the season as you think about running 137 yards and the convoy and the Muffet, but you go back?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an all-time play.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy play. It also could have been a very bad play. So I'm just grateful the ball just bounced into my hands, and the rest I couldn't even, when I was running up the sideline, I'm like, there's no way this is happening right now. So it was awesome.
How would you compare your punt return for a touchdown against Colorado? Because it was a different kind of return, much shorter.
Yeah.
But still a big play in that game.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, it felt good to score against them after all the media, everything was Colorado. So to score and then run into their, like, end zone and their fans, I was saying stuff, so it was fun. Yeah.
What did you say?
I mean, I can't repeat what I said.
You were excited.
I was excited, very excited.
It's kind of a short runway there to get in and then get out of there.
Yeah, I hit a few cameramen, so
Look out below again.
Yep.
Talking to Parker Kingston here on BYU Sports Nation. You guys are working hard because you guys feel like you have something to prove again.
Yeah.
Of course, still questions around things still, course, quarterback situation and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yet, you guys are prepared, it feels like, either way to proceed. And whoever's throwing you the ball, that's going to be great. Tell us a little bit about how spring went and what you guys kind of learned and what you hope to kind of get back into in fall camp.
Yeah, no, spring ball went good. I mean, I didn't practice. I practiced like the last two practices of spring ball. But I was able to, you know, sharpen up on a little things and get that connection down again. But there were a lot of people that looked good. I mean, Carson Ryan looked like a baller. I was watching the defense a lot, and Keanu Tonavasa is the greatest defensive tackle I think I've ever watched.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's he's legit. He was always in the backfield. I mean, he was against us in the Utah game. So it's going to be a really good year. We just got to keep honing in on the little details, and we'll have a good year. A
couple of follow-ups there. What was the injury that kept you out of spring?
I hyperextended my knee, like literally the first or second day of practice. And then I could have came back, but they were just like, there's no point. Like, you don't need to get hurt. So I sat out, and then I came back for the last two practices.
Feeling good now?
I feel great.
That's awesome. And then what does Keanu do to be so effective to get in the backfield?
I don't know. He's just big, strong. He's quick. He's got a lot of pass rush moves. So it's gonna be fun to watch him and Justin Kirkland in the middle this year.
Justin Kirkland, a Roy guy?
Yeah, Roy boy.
What's it like to have him in the fold here?
It's awesome. I mean, I've always wanted to have another teammate from Roy on the team. So when he came, I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I told Josh, I'm like, put his locker right next to mine. So we're locker buddies, but it's good to have him.
Heck yeah. Tell us about the wide receiver group, because certainly there are losses with Darius and Keelan, yet it's you and JoJo and Chase and young Tay and Cody and Tiger Bachmeier.
Yeah.
Feels like a good group.
Yeah, it's a solid group. I mean, we have a lot of different skill sets, and Cody and Tiger and Reggie, who just got here, they're all really good players and are probably going to have to step up at some point this year and fill in. So they're going to do a good job. They're good receivers. Yeah, LeMason's good. Yeah. Dom's good. Tay's good. We got a solid room.
That's a good group. What are you most excited about as you think about the season? About 9 Saturdays away.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to. I mean, finish what we did not finish last year, right? I mean, we were 9-0 and had those two losses and couldn't go to the Big 12 championship. So, that's all in our minds. 11-2. We're not satisfied. So hopefully we get to see Arizona State in the Big 12 championship again and then go to the college football playoff.
Specifically them because of how it ended?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
I would like that too.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good. As you think about the season and look forward and whatnot, what is sustainable from last year of, okay, we can pick up where we left off and do XYZ?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people returning. I think we return almost every starter on offense right now besides the O-line, and the O-line, TJ Woods, is going to get him locked in like he did last year. So I think we can just build off what we did last year in the defense with Jay Hill and the new guys that we've added. We're going to be a whole new team and a lot better.
Parker, we appreciate the time. Congrats on a great offseason so far. And don't walk by LaBelle Edwards Stadium and get hit by him throwing up.
Yep. Right? Yep. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Parker.
Yep.
Parker Kingston on BYU Sports Nation. You know what's good news, Jason? Is you missed any of those? Just watch them on demand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can watch them on demand, the Deep Blues, any of our interview shows, find them at BYUSN.com, or download the BYU TV app to get all of our BYU Sports Nation content, again, on demand.
Still on the way, BYU has not one but two Hoopers representing their home countries in prominent international tournaments. How are they performing in the FIBA circles? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. Let's get to a wealth of Monday headlines.
In case you missed it, here is a summary of updates regarding BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff's legal situation. KSL and ESPN's Pete Thamel reported that a civil lawsuit against BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff has now been dismissed. Attorneys for both sides filed a joint motion to dismiss the case earlier this morning. Yesterday, several reports, including those from ESPN's Pete Thamel, reported that Jake Retzlaff plans to transfer from Brigham Young University.
On threes, Brett McMurphy reporting that the Big 12 Conference will not have a football preseason media poll this season. We just talked about it. This comes 1 year after Big 12 champion Arizona State was picked dead last, 16th out of 16 teams. McMurphy adding the conference will still have preseason all-league teams. Individuals going to get their accolades. Big 12 Football Media Days go down next week at the Star in Frisco, Texas, July 8th and 9th.
BYU basketball's A.J. DeBonsa shined for Team USA in leading the U19 team to two wins at the FIBA World Championship Games in Switzerland. On Saturday, DeBonsa scored a game-high 18 points in Team USA's win over Australia. Yesterday, DeBonsa scored 16 in helping lead Team USA to a win over France. DeBonsa and the Americans return to action for their final pool play game tomorrow against Cameroon.
I spy gold in A.J.'s future. Speaking of A.J. DeBonsa, he and Richie Saunders both featured in way too early 2026 NBA mock drafts. Yep, post-NBA draft, what do? We spin it forward to the next year. ESPN's Jonathan Givony says DeBonsa will go number 2 overall. He has Saunders also being drafted number 59 overall. The Athletic's Sam Vecenie, in his mock draft, has A.J. going number 3 overall and Richie Saunders being selected at number 48.
I really liked Gavoni's mock. It's not just because he had him going number 2, speaking of DeBonsa, but where he had him going. 2 to our Utah Jazz.
There we go.
BYU women's basketball's Delaney Gibb made her debut for the Canadian women's national team at the FIBA AmeriCup this past weekend. In Team Canada's first game, Gibb scored 9 points in a win over El Salvador. Yesterday, Gibb scored 2 points in a Canadian win over Argentina. Gibb and Team Canada return to play later today against Brazil.
BYU women's basketball head coach Lee Kamard announces the hirings of former standout Paisley Johnson Harding and Andrew Curtis as assistant coaches. Johnson Harding, BYU's all-time leader in games played, of course, helped lead BYU to 3 NCAA tournament appearances. She spent last season as an assistant coach at Utah Valley University. Curtis, by the way, comes to BYU after spending the last 9 seasons as the head coach of the Perry High School girls basketball team.
BYU's James Corrigan was named one of 10 semifinalists for the Bowerman, which goes to the Male and Female Athlete of the Year in track and field. Finalists for the Bowerman will be announced on July 8th.
And congratulations to all of BYU athletics for finishing the 2024-2025 athletic calendar season, ranked number 25 overall in the Learfield Directors Cup standings, first among all Big 12 teams. This takes into account every sport a university participates in at the NCAA level. So to finish top 25 is very impressive. Second time in the last 5 years, by the way, BYU as an athletic department has had a top 25 finish. After the break, BYU TV dual threat analyst Blaine Fowler joins us to discuss how the potential departure of Jake Retzlaff impacts expectations for Cougar football at the quarterback position. Who does he think has the inside track? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. A very busy Monday. We are live in Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. We now welcome in our dual threat analyst. You know him as Uncle B. He is Blaine Fowler, national champion quarterback, is with us to discuss that very thing at BYU, the quarterback position, among other things. Blaine, how are you this morning?
Good, guys. I always like when you say Uncle B in Studio B. It just sounds good. I love it.
It rolls off the tongue, if you will.
Okay? Yes, it does.
We'll stay with that. Okay, Blaine, we just got done discussing, after Jake Retzlaff and the reports that he's leaving BYU, the remaining 3 options for BYU at quarterback, Treyson Borgay, McKay Hillstead, and Bear Bachmeier, in order of how long each of those 3 have been with the team. So what do you make of what BYU has in the stable if indeed they have to replace Jake Retzlaff and be ready with somebody new on August 30th?
It's interesting. I had a conversation with Kalani at the beginning of the summer about the quarterback position. And, you know, as they go into summer, it's not like it is in fall camp when you say, hey, this is our starter. We're going to give him 65% of the reps. We think this is, you know, we're going to battle for number 2. We're going to split the rest of it with those 2 guys. In the summer, everybody kind of rotates through on the reps. And Kalani said, my hope for Jake is that he can learn from the mistakes that he made last season, and he can become a better game manager, because we really don't need him to go out and win games. We're so solid defensively with what we have coming back, and there are so many weapons on offense. We need him to play within the offense, be really, really smart, get the ball to playmakers in space, and let the defense and the playmakers make plays, which is really, really interesting, because now as Jake moves on and we go to either Trayson or McKay or Bear, I think it's the same thing. I think what Kalani said about Jake is exactly what applies to these three quarterbacks. Who will do the best job of being a good game manager, getting the ball to all of these weapons in space, and letting those guys go make plays and taking care of the football and playing within the offense? That's what Kalani was looking for when he thought Jake was coming back. I think that's still what BYU was looking for. And I think that these guys, especially Trayson McKay, have enough experience in this offense now, where they've both been here for more than a year, that they understand where the ball's supposed to go. And if they can get it up on time and in the right spots, BYU can be very, very good, especially with the defense that they have coming back.
Okay, so is someone, Blaine, who has played this position and understands what it takes to be in an offense like this, make the case for all three of these quarterbacks that are in the running and why they would be the guy that would get the nod? Let's start with Trayson Borgay.
So Trayson, the nice part is both Trayson and McKay have played. So Trayson has played in games. He played in 10 games at Western Michigan. I mean, he didn't play a bunch of Power 4 schools. He did get a start against Miami back in 2023. Best games against Ball State, where he played out of his mind, 24 of 39, 328 yards, 3 touchdowns. They had a big win against Ball State. So he has played. He understands what it takes to be the leader out there on the field and do that. He's got more size than McKay has in terms of the two experienced guys at 6'2 and 205 pounds. If everything is equal between those two as you get into fall camp, you might give the nod to Trayson just because you would say he might be a little bit more durable because he's a little bit bigger, but he doesn't have quite the quickness that McKay has to be able to run around and make plays. So I would say experience. Trayson has experience. He's got a big arm. He can make all the throws. And you know what? He comes from a football family. Both of his brothers, one plays quarterback and one plays wide receiver at Arizona State. Their sister plays volleyball at Arizona State. This is a kid that comes from a really athletic family that has high expectations. So I don't think the moment is going to be too big for Trayson. This is what he's prepared for. This is what their family expects their kids to do, to play at a high level. There's going to be an adjustment for anybody going from high school to Division I. And then there's an adjustment going from a G5 program to playing P4 schools every year. Players are bigger, faster. The holes are smaller. The receivers, the DBs close faster. But I think he has enough experience and he knows this offense well enough that he could be what I said Kalani and I were talking about at the beginning of the summer.
Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Bear Bachmeier is a very intriguing case, as you have alluded to and as Jason and I have discussed. Blaine, I'm of the opinion that I would almost rather he have more time to adjust to BYU, their playbook, the style, and just watch and observe and be able to learn and grow that way before he's thrust into the spotlight. Because I think at some point he is going to be the guy and he's going to be really good for BYU. How much time does he need to get to a place where BYU feels comfortable putting him in a very high profile and pressure packed situation?
First off, Spencer, I agree with you 100% that it would be best for him to be able to watch for a little bit. Now, whether that's the whole season, I mean, ideally, you know, if Jake was coming back, you'd say, hey, Bear, we're going to try to get you in 4 games and redshirt you, right? But we're not going to put you in critical situations where you could cost the game. But we want to get you in games and have you get a feel. We want you to have a year in this offense. Would have been nice if he didn't go to Stanford first, because he graduated in December. And if he could have been here for spring ball, I would have felt a little bit differently about it. But he's learning the offense on the fly as they're just working out in player-run practices in the summer. And then he'll get a full dose with the coaches in the fall. Of course, he's watching a lot of film. But if you ask me who is the most talented quarterback in the program right now with all of the measurables that you need, you can see he's a big guy, 6'2", 225 pounds. He has everything you want in a quarterback to be a big-time player at this level.
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Rise and shout. Much to discuss in what's trending.
Our guys are working really, really hard, and I'm really excited about what I'm seeing from them. I think we're on the right path. Let's see if we invested the right time and made enough sacrifices to get there as a team.
The standard was set of winning a lot of games, you know, going forward, and it's making the playoff and winning the playoff.
What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. We have an infinity of topics to discuss, Jason. Okay, maybe not that many, but a lot. Yesterday, Athlon Sports released their preseason All Big 12 teams, and 10 different Cougars were recognized. We should table that with Athlon put out four teams. Four.
They went the extra mile.
Or the conference.
They went beyond, okay? If you will.
So, by the number on the team, we'll break it all down. The first team included Chase Roberts, Isaiah Glasker, and Will Farron. On the second team, LJ Martin.
I like that, by the way. Second team?
I hope he has a second team season.
That's what I'm saying.
Jack Kelly, the linebacker. Parker Kingston as a punt returner. Into the third team. Offensive lineman Waylon Lapuaho. On the defensive line, Keanu Tanuvasa. Third team for Keanu. And the fourth team includes Maury Bamba and safety Tanner Wall. So, as we ramp up to Big 12 Media Days next week and know that the preseason All Big 12 teams will be released soon, it got us thinking about several things. And the Big 12 has only one preseason team featuring a total of 20 players. So, last year, Tyler Batty was the only BYU player named to the preseason team. Nobody else, just Tyler Batty. Our question, Jason, as we begin today is, will BYU have multiple players on the preseason All Big 12 team?
I think they will, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think they have earned it. I think they have the talent to warrant more than just one like they had last year with Tyler Batty. So, yes, I do. The other part is, I think you see this a lot. Teams that have quite a bit of success the season before, and maybe if they weren't necessarily on the radar like they will be this year, a lot of times you start to see players from that team get more of the accolades because they became much more prominent with what they did the year before.
It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand. So I think that the two combined, I'm anticipating at least two on the preseason awards list.
Yeah, I think there might be more because it's hard to argue with a guy like Chase Roberts.
Yes, 100%.
And Will Farron, yep. I think he's clearly the best kicker in the entire conference.
Yeah, see, you and I are on the same page with that because those are the two that I feel like are locks.
And what about, as a returner, Parker Kingston? I know he was second team according to Athlon, but he had two punt returns for touchdowns last year. Notably, one of them in the bowl game where it's on everybody's mind because it's the last game of the season. So Parker could make his way on there. And what of the linebacking core, Jason? Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. Can one of those guys hop in to an all-Big 12 preseason team?
Well, there's no question that they can. And look, Jack Kelly raised a lot of eyebrows last year in what he did with BYU, and I think a lot of people started to take notice of what Jack was able to do, and certainly we know how good Isaiah Glasker. Look,
I'm so juiced for the linebackers.
Both of these guys back this year.
Juiced.
What a benefit for the BYU defense, which was so good last year, and to have that type of continuity at the position that we know has been so big and storied here in Provo for so long.
So we clearly think BYU will have multiple players. To me, it's more of a question of, will they have three, maybe four,
right,
on this All-Big
12
preseason team?
And what a jump that would
team.
Be from going from one last year to possibly three or four, yeah, on a list that, as you mentioned, is 20?
Yeah, 20. Maybe a few more.
Yeah.
There are enough positions available on that list that BYU could easily place three. I think it might be more than 20. We got to do the math again. But Chase Roberts, Will Farron, Parker Kingston all have, I think, the best shot to get on there. And then when you include the linebackers, I mean, can one of those guys hop into this all preseason Big 12 team? Could BYU have as many as four? Let's just go ahead and set the over-under at 3.5, Jason. Okay?
Okay. Let's do it.
It's something to look forward to as we get ready for Big 12 Media Days. And again, there's no preseason media poll for the teams of where they're going to finish because it's been so bad. They just got rid of it. So this is like our only thing.
Right. Yeah, this is
it.
But in a way, if you think about it, this could probably tell you where they have certain teams lined up.
Fair enough.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that if whoever has the most was the one that was going to be picked first. But I think it kind of gives you an idea of where everybody's attention is and who they anticipate being the upper echelon of this conference.
Yeah, and let me clarify, it's 30 players. So I said 20, it's 30. 30 players between offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, that's not crazy. When you think of 30 players.
Can BYU have four?
The BYU, certainly they're going to get two.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Three or four, that's not crazy. And again, it comes back to what I started my entire comments on. They've earned it. It's warranted. It's not like they're giving BYU anything on this. With what BYU did last year and the type of players that are coming back this year with the expectations of what the team can do, that's 100% earned and warranted. Mm.
In the end, does it really matter who shows up on these preseason teams? No. But it does create for some interesting fodder, knowing that BYU only had one last year and then proceeded to, as a team, go 11-2. An incredible surprise to much of the nation. BYU players and the team and Kalani will tell you, we knew. We knew. So I don't know. Maybe we do want BYU to get spited and only have one player on the preseason.
Yeah, if you're not gonna have the teams ranked, you need something that you can motivate the team with, right?
Some under the radar guys. LJ Martin is the second teamer from Athlon. Was fun. Keanu Tanavasa, third teamer, which leads us into
our
next topic.
Yeah, speaking of under the radar players, ESPN's Kyle Bonagura put together a list of under the radar players. Who's primed for a breakout season among the teams in his preseason top 25. He had LJ Martin as BYU's breakout candidate.
I love it.
I do too. And some may like, well, wait a minute, he's been here for a couple of years. Look, you combine that with what we mentioned with Athlon Sports, that LJ Martin picked second team. I like the fact that people are recognizing just how good LJ Martin is.
When he's healthy,
when he's
healthy, he has been fantastic. Can he stay healthy?
Right.
Obviously, is the big question mark because he's dealt with his multiple injuries in his BYU career and has played through some of them. He definitely has the capability, if he can just stay on the field, to be BYU's next 1,000-yard rusher. He could do it.
Okay, so let's stay with this topic in terms of the breakout candidates. Let's go one on each side of the football. Who are your top breakout candidates, one on offense, one on defense for the Cougs this year?
Told you I was super stoked about the linebackers, and we're focusing a lot of attention on Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. They deserve it. The man in the middle, who is replacing Harrison Taggart, I believe is a beast. Siale Asera. I think very few people outside of the BYU community and the college football community know him. I think everybody's going to know Siale Asera by the end of the season. You should watch this dude in the weight room and how he's preparing. And not just physically, but mentally. Like, you talk to him and his dad, Peter, and just sense the excitement that they have for Siale, a bona fide four-star out of Temple. Siale told me on the cruise, he's like, I want him to let me play running back, too. I'm ready to score touchdowns and stop people from scoring touchdowns. Jason, he is an absolute monster. And I think he could lead BYU in tackles this year. Like, Siale Asera, my breakout candidate on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side, I feel like the wide receiver core is really deep. And lost in that mix a little bit is a guy like JoJo Phillips, right? I like JoJo. Don't know what type of chemistry he's going to have with whoever the starting quarterback is, but we saw glimpses of what JoJo can do. Scored multiple touchdowns, but for the most part, flew under the radar last year. I think JoJo can have a breakout season, and maybe he gets some help with Parker Kingston and Chase Roberts and others attracting so much attention to go out and kind of have that step forward year and take a bigger role in this BYU offense. Who are your guys under the radar to break out.
Yeah, look, and you just mentioned, I'll start on offense, and I like where you went with the receivers because that's where I started first, and I went with Parker Kingston.
As a receiver specifically.
As a receiver specifically. We certainly know what he can do as a returner, and he's been here, obviously, so people are aware of him. But as a receiver, if you look at what Parker has done, the most catches he's had in a season is 19. I think he will shatter that. And by the way, that was two seasons ago. That was the 23-24 season. And that also was his career high in receiving yards at 207. By the way, only two touchdowns receiving. I think he shatters those numbers this year. I love his speed. I love his moxie and confidence. So, yeah, so he's my on offense. I'm going Parker Kingston as a receiver to be one of the breakouts. On the defensive side, and I know a lot of people are really excited to see what he will do in a BYU uniform this year, is Keanu Tanevasa.
Yeah, and this is not a secret for the BYU community.
No, locally this is certainly not a surprise to know how good he is. But I think nationally there's not a lot of people that know how good Keanu Tanevasa is.
He's BYU's best draft prospect right now.
Well, look, and you look at what he did at the University of Utah. They're not eye-popping numbers. Now, some of that was he wasn't able to play in all of the games. In 2024, only played in seven games. In 2023, 13. In 2022, he played four. So, but four sacks career-wise. Tackles for loss, 12 for 56. The numbers were not necessarily eye-popping, but I think this is where you get yourself in trouble when if you're only looking at statistics, you miss how big of a problem he is and how much attention he garners from the opposition. I think what he will bring on the defensive line is going to be huge and significantly needed, knowing with some of the departures on that defensive line. So for me, I think this is going to be a breakout year for Keanu Tanevasa on the defensive line.
The fact that he's listed as a third teamer by Athlon in the Big 12, and he's just nowhere near any preseason Big 12 lists. Can I repeat what I said yesterday? They don't know, but they're about to find out. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Matt Miller, notable NFL draft prospect, draft analyst, has Keanu listed as a top five defensive tackle for the 2026 draft class. They know. Matt knows. He doesn't have anything to find out. He already knows. Yeah, this health, please, stay healthy.
Yes.
Stay healthy. This could be a huge year for Keanu Tanevasa. Some other potential names as breakout candidates. I know Carson Ryan was a guy that got a lot of attention in spring football.
His name gets brought up a lot by coaches.
He was the spring football offensive MVP.
How many times has Kalani talked about Carson?
Every time that he does an interview, it feels like.
Yes.
Carson, like, Kalani is, he is so big on the tight end taking a bigger role in the offense. And Carson was busy. He's been busy since he transferred to BYU. We all hope. And I say, when I say we, the contingent of BYU fans, they know what the tight end means at this institution. Is Carson Ryan the next great tight end for BYU? Hoping to see that happen. Sione Moa, backup running back to L.J. Martin. We saw glimpses of his greatness and his toughness, his physicality, running over people and through people. Can he stay healthy? He had an ankle-foot injury as well. Liz Frank, I believe is what it was. Can Sione get through it and do it? He could have a breakout season. Tanner Wall, I feel like, is the most underappreciated player on BYU's team, Jason, as a safety. Just consistent, always where he needs to be, often the highest-graded player on the defense from game to game. But that's kind of how it is with a safety. Like, you do your job, you're so consistent, you're the quarterback of the defense. Like, you kind of fly under the radar.
And he's a super good guy. Tanner Wall is awesome.
He's a genius.
Shameless plug, by the way. If you'd like to hear more from Tanner Wall, there will be an upcoming episode of the Deep Blue Podcast wherever you get your podcasts with Tanner Wall.
Okay, no, he's a genius. Like, Tanner Wall is going to be a millionaire, whether it's as a football player or as a businessman or both. He will be a millionaire.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. His future is bright, regardless of whatever direction he wants to go.
Our question of the day: you've heard our options, but who is your top breakout candidate for BYU football in 2025? At Luke Jorgensen 7 answers on X. I think Trey Alexander could be due for a breakout season, both as a recruiter and on the field. You want to talk about a guy who recruits for BYU nonstop right. on social media? Yeah. It's Trey. I like that pick because Trey has a massive opportunity taking over for the departure of Jacob Robinson and others. Mark Collins leaves. There are opportunities at cornerback, Jason.
Yeah, I like it. That's one. That's one that I hadn't thought of.
Okay.
Very nice.
Chand Bam on Instagram says, hoping to see a breakout year from JoJo Phillips or Cody Hagan.
Yeah.
That receiver core. There's depth there. I know they lost Keelan Marion, which might mean great things for Parker Kingston to have an increased role. JoJo Phillips and Cody Hagan. All right. McGarry 15 back on X says, whoever ends up as QB1.
We thought about that.
Yeah, we kind of took that out of the mix. Yeah. Like, yeah, we know how prominent the quarterback is, but that's a fair point.
Yeah.
I don't know who quarterback one's going to be, but hopefully they have a breakout season.
Yes.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Win on X, Facebook, and an Instagram.
All right. PFF put out a graphic last week, which I think caught every BYU fans' attention. And they had BYU's Chase Roberts listed as the 8th best draft-eligible wide receiver in college football.
Okay.
What are your expectations for Chase this season, given the reported change at quarterback?
I still think he should be and will be the focal point of BYU's passing attack and in large part their offense. I think he has to be, Chase. This should be the security blanket for whoever the quarterback is.
100%.
I don't know what to do. There's nobody open, but I have to get rid of the ball. Where's two? Where's number two? Find Chase, because more often than not, Jason, he will make a young, inexperienced quarterback look like a bona fide star because he goes and makes plays. Just give him an opportunity to go up and win a jump ball. His catch radius is awesome. His hands are fantastic. There's a reason that he, too, is an NFL legitimate prospect. Find number two. He is your security blanket. Can Chase average 70 yards a game this season? Because guess what? If he averages 70 yards a game, let's times that by 13, do the math on the air, that's 910 yards. Mm-hmm. Even a little bit more than that, can he get to the 1,000-yard barrier? It's been forever since BYU had a 1,000-yard rusher or receiver.
Yeah, and look, I could not agree with you more in terms of him being the focal point. And when in doubt, find number two.
Throw it up to two.
How many times last year did we see balls that were thrown in his vicinity for him to just go make a play, and he did.
Yep.
All you have to look for is the Utah game.
Yeah, that matters.
That matters big time. But look, and you talked about, you mentioned the number 1,000. Last year, 854. I understand.
And that's with Marion and Lassiter.
Yes, where the direction, you know, with the quarterback situation being what it is and still trying to figure out where that's going to end up, I still believe 1,000 yards for Chase Roberts is very much in play
this year. Okay.
So I love that he's getting the recognition that he deserves. And I love that he decided to come back.
Yes.
Because he had every option to go, an opportunity to go last year, and he would have been a success in the NFL this year.
Mm.
But coming back, I love that he's back, and BYU will reap the benefits from that.
What is it, roughly 78 yards a game on average if you play 13 to get to 1,000?
Don't ask me to do math. I'm just going to say yes because I don't want to look like an idiot.
It's 77, so I went 1 yard over that. But come on, can Chase pick up 77, 78 yards per game in 13 and get to 1,000?
Yeah, but,
absolutely.
Yeah,
he should.
Because there may be games where he finishes with 60, and there may be games when he finishes with 125.
Come on. Come on! Chase Roberts, expectations, 1,000 yards?
Yes, that's where I'm leaning right now.
Okay. Let's finish with this. Oh, I'm so happy to discuss this.
We mentioned this yesterday.
Brett McMurphy's bowl projection for BYU. He did all 82 teams that he has qualifying for a bowl game. Yes, Cougars, he believes, will be bowl eligible and has them back in Shreveport in the Independence Bowl against, wait for it, Jacksonville State. Jason, is this bowl game the worst case scenario for BYU in the postseason?
Look, for the simple reason that I don't want this video to be used against us if this is how it plays out, let's just let things play out and hope that this is not how it all falls into place.
I can understand that my personal scenario is much more complicated than just a team going to a bowl game.
Your COVID situation?
I just have bad feelings in my heart about Shreveport in general. Okay, the two times I've been there, the first time I went there, yes, I got COVID. It took me out for almost a month. Second time I went back, the bowl game was miserable, rainy, cold, awful, and BYU lost to UAB. Yeah. Maybe I need to go back there and experience something good so that I can change my perception.
Just completely wash away all of the negativity.
But on the surface, yes, of all the bowl games potential or possible that BYU could go to, and the opponents, like playing Jacksonville State in Shreveport, does not feel ideal.
That doesn't feel like a reward.
It doesn't. Oh. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Give me the Pop-Tarts Bowl, please. Please.
Please. All right. BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from Big 12 Football Media Day next week at the Star in Frisco, Texas. You can tune in on Tuesday, July 8th and Wednesday, July 9th, beginning at noon Eastern on BYU TV and on BYU Radio.
If BYU ends up in Shreveport, I will make it my mission to find all of the positives down there in that part of Louisiana.
By the way, we love all of our listeners and viewers that are tuning in from Shreveport right now. We love you.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU offensive lineman Andrew Gentry on how he's integrating into BYU football and building chemistry with the entirety of that offensive line. This is BYU Sports Nation. Love you, Shreveport!
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
It's just one winner or one loser.
So I love the toughness. I love the mentality that they're instilling in us.
Fight to be first! Fight to be first!
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jason Shepherd. Last week, Jerem Jordan spoke one-on-one with BYU offensive lineman Andrew Gentry. Yeah, one of the new guys, about integrating in with the team, building chemistry as an entire offensive line, and frankly, because it was at a golf tournament where he ranks as a golfer amidst the BYU players. One-on-one with Andrew Gentry.
We are in the offseason, and Andrew, this is your first at BYU. How is it going?
It's going awesome. It's fantastic. I love the way that people are working. I love what Coach Phyllis has in store for us, what he's been doing in the weight room with us, the way the coaches are coaching us. There's high expectations going in, which is what we love. It's been amazing, though, so far. I've loved it. Rehab's going super well. So just excited to get the pads on and get going in the season.
You guys are working hard. I've seen wall sits in the IPF. Oh, yeah. I've seen running the stairs at LES. What's all this like? What's the toughest thing?
It's a grind, man. I'd say, you know, for the big guys on Thursdays, we have what's called big man conditioning. So I don't know if you've seen those videos surface on social media of us pushing those sleds and moving around. But man, every Thursday, that's a little daunting coming into it. But you love it too, right? I mean, you know it's going to be tough, but that's what you love, right? I mean, it's going to be tough to go win in overtime. Maybe, you know, when you have to go do that this season at some point, it's going to be tough to go play on the road in some games. So you build that toughness now. You build those calluses so that by the time you get to the season, you just go and roll. So I love the toughness. I love the mentality that they're instilling in us. Yeah, it's been hard, but that's the way you want it to be.
Tell me about the sled and what makes it so difficult.
Man, I mean, well, I think the tough part is they got three different kind of sleds that they're having us push all in a row, right? So you do one station, then you go to the next. But, I mean, it's tough, man. When you load a bunch of weight on there and you start pushing, you're bent over, there's just something about it that it just gives you a sick feeling. It really does. Like, people call it the prowler flu if you've pushed prowlers before, right? It's a real thing that they put a warning on there.
I love
the
that you looked at
flu.
Me like I maybe have done this.
Maybe you've done it before, Jay. I don't know. But but no, it's fun. I mean, I say fun. In the moment, maybe not so fun, but afterwards, I mean, they're working us and, like I said, building us up and building that callus.
And there's a team element to it?
Yeah, there is.
Multiple guys, you got to work together.
Yes, yeah, so there's one they call it the scrum sled. So it's like in rugby, the scrum. Mm. You get two guys in there.
You're talking my language.
Oh, yeah, there Thank we go. You. Yeah, Thank I know you. I'm talking your language now, but you get in that scrum sled and you're just pushing, and they got coaches standing on it, making it tough. And then They get this big ram sled is what they call it, where you can get 3 to 5 guys on there. So, I mean, you got to build that chemistry too, which, you know, as an offensive lineman is something, you know, especially a transfer coming in, something that I've enjoyed, right? You're grinding next to the guy, you're the guy right next to you, and it makes it fun because you get to build that trust with him, and I enjoy that.
How is that process of getting to know the fellow offensive lineman that you'll be going to battle with?
I've really enjoyed it, and it's been going really well. Everybody's been super welcoming to me, which I really appreciate it, right? I know that it can be tough sometimes being a transfer and coming in, but, man, everybody here in the O-line room has been awesome, and it's been great to get to know them because I think just as important as getting to know them on the field is getting to know them off the field. So we did an O-line retreat down to St. George, got to play golf with a bunch of them, been hanging out with a bunch of them, and we've all just clicked really well. It hasn't ever felt like there's separate groups or anything like that. Everybody's jived really well. I feel very welcomed, and I feel like it's going to be super easy then building that chemistry once the season rolls around.
Give me a sense of the food bill or the amount that in St. George was required to feed the group.
You know, honestly, it's great that we have a great nutritionist. Shout out Dan, you know, who helped us out and hooked us up with some steaks and some short ribs down there. So
you cooked them down there?
Oh, we cooked them down there. Nice. Sonny Moccasini, I got to shout out him, man. That guy, he can chef it up. He really can. He was marinating chicken for, I think, like 2 days before we went down there.
That's prepared.
And, oh, yeah. He got down there, was on the grill, I think, for 4 hours that first day, just grilling everybody food and made us a whole feast, man. So I got to shout out Sonny for that because he was making sure we were eating right down there.
That's awesome. Who is the best golfer among the O-line?
You know, I think there's some debate on there. I would say it's myself. You know, we were down in St. George, and but I actually, you know what? I might have to give it to Jeff Lewis. Jeff Lewis is pretty good. He did beat me that second day. You know, Austin and Waylon might be upset that I'm saying that. But
this is Chad's son, right?
That's Chad's son, yeah. Jeff. Yeah, he's a really good golfer. He's a really good golfer. So I'd actually probably give him the nod. You know, I'll have to go play head-to-head with him again. But I can hang with him, too.
Yeah, okay. I like that. Compare and contrast sort of the different styles of strength and conditioning, kind of the team element of Michigan and now here at BYU.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely different, right? I would say at Michigan, you know, you bring guys in, you're bringing in a lot of 4- and 5-star guys. And so at the end of the day, a little bit more developed maybe and ready to go. And so honestly, at Michigan, maybe not quite as hard as the conditioning's been here. And so I've kind of seen both aspects. There's a lot of functionality type movements at Michigan. And here it's a lot more, you know, you're going to grind. It's going to be a little bit harder, which I've loved having both aspects, right? Because you need both in football. But here they do it really smart too. I mean, they're going to train you hard, but they're going to make sure they're doing it science-based and they track everything and make sure we're not getting injured. And so it's been really cool to kind of see both aspects of ways that work, right? I mean, it's worked at Michigan. It's working really well here. And for me, it's been really cool to kind of see both aspects of it.
What's this like emotionally for you? Because I know you grew up, your dad played basketball at BYU.
Yep.
And your brother played O-line at BYU.
Yep.
You originally commit to Virginia in Bronco Mendenhall. Then you actually go to Michigan. And now you're back at BYU, a sort of homecoming of sorts. What's this emotionally been like on this journey?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a whirlwind of emotions, right? I loved Coach Mendenhall and that whole staff that, you know, kind of spread throughout the country now, but they were awesome and always very supportive of me on my mission. And then obviously went to Michigan and loved my time there at Michigan and just kind of felt like it was a time for a change. And so, you know, it's been cool to meet all these different people, to build these relationships with these different staffs. But at the same time, it's been really exciting too, because I guess you could say it is almost like a homecoming of sorts, right? Where you go to these places, commit to Virginia and go to Michigan and you're kind of the outsider coming in. But here I've just got so many roots in Utah and especially at BYU. So it's felt really fun to be back and into kind of a familiar way, if you could say that, you know, familiar faces and familiar feel being in Provo.
It's very familiar because your brother's in my ward. And I happen to see you around as well.
Yeah,
which is awesome. We see you in there, which is great. And you went on your mission to, was it Orem?
To Orem, yes, sir.
Orem. So it's all very familiar.
Super familiar.
And yes, the famous Jim Harbaugh picture at Tucano's.
At Tucano's, right there at University Mall.
It's awesome. Tell me about the hat. Is that tan?
It is tan.
A tan hat?
It's a tan hat.
A tan BYU hat.
A tan BYU hat. Got the blue bill right here. Yeah. But yeah, Lodge 33, you know.
Lodge 33, that's the company?
That's the company. I love this hat, though.
Is tan coming back? Because early 2000s, it was
the tan. I remember when I was growing up, you had the tan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll try to bring it back. I don't know if I'm going to be the one to set that trend, but
I think it starts today. I think it's starting today that tan is coming back.
You got to pick it up, Jeremy. You got to continue it, then.
I'm not sure I love it. I would love one game of a tan jersey.
I don't know if I'd love that.
Well, I think it'd be terrible just so we could emphasize that, hey, we don't want this.
Fair enough.
As like a secondary or tertiary one? Maybe.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe we're good.
We'll talk to
like,
talk
I think it's
EQ
fun
guys.
You have the hat. I'm not anti-hat. I'm pro-hat.
Thanks, man.
But jersey could be a little weird. Okay, you're gonna play in a couple of minutes. Who's your biggest competition, you think, among the guys that are out there? Because I saw Parker Kingston.
Yeah.
I know he's amazing.
He's really good. Yeah, I don't think – if we were going head-to-head, we're playing a scramble.
Yeah.
So if we were going head-to-head, I know Parker would smoke me out on the course. Ty Smith as well, long snapper. He's really good at golf too. So those two – you know, they're going to be carrying the groups today, I think. But now that we're playing in a scramble, you know, it lets me just kind of let loose a little bit and kind of smoke
you
the driver.
Shots?
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is, you know, I can hang in a scramble because yeah. I'm just not consistent. But I'll get a couple out there. But, yeah, I'm not beating PK in a head-to-head match, that's for sure.
He's pretty legit.
Yeah,
he is. He's good. Well, we're bringing 10 back, apparently. Andrew, we appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
Always a great time. Thanks, Jerem.
If you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com, or you can download the BYU TV app to get all of the BYU Sports Nation content whenever you want on demand.
Multiple BYU Cougars representing their countries in international competition, plus one incoming freshman named Gatorade Player of the Year. We'll tell you who next in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. Cross-country star Casey Klinger always had a goal to win a national championship at BYU. He has discovered and achieved other goals in pursuit of that championship. This is Deep Blue with Casey Klinger.
Casey has a very high level of determination and commitment, and he likes the results of diligent effort. He takes this approach in every aspect of his life.
He knew that the best that he ran, the better the team was going to be in cross country. And his freshman year, he ended up being our number one placer at nationals when we, as a team, finished in third place.
He was interviewed at the end of that race, and they asked him in the interview, why are you doing this? Why would you be willing to leave right now when you're so successful and so fit to go and serve a mission for 2 years? Aren't you worried about that? And his response was, I just feel like if I go and serve the Lord for 2 years, that everything's going to be okay. And that's what I put my trust and faith in. Everything's going to be okay.
About a month before I finished my mission, I was sitting in church at sacrament meeting, and I opened up my tablet disobediently and checked Facebook to see that my team had won the cross-country national title. And it rocked me.
He was overjoyed by the fact that the team got it done, but there was a deep sadness in him that he was not part of that team for our inaugural national championship.
Like, oh man, like, I could have been there. And those thoughts kind of seeped in. I just remember praying that I could have the right headspace. I knew I was so close to being done with my mission, and these 2 years were so important to me, and that I would be able to have that eternal perspective and just be able to be happy for my team and finish my mission strong.
I know that it became a very, very high priority item for him to win a national championship and to guide his team to a national championship before it was all said and done.
I came home from my mission more motivated than ever. And it was all about defending that title. But I also needed to find a wife and start a family. So those were the two goals, defend the title and find me an internal companion.
Our first conversation was in the elevator, and it was of him complimenting me on my pants, my bell-bottom jeans.
Not my smoothest moment, but I think I said, I like your pants.
And I thought he was the weirdest person ever. Just, I'm like, okay, who compliments girls on their pants? I just thought it was kind of a weird thing, but yeah, that was our first conversation. But it did work, and I was the one that got his phone number, so I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, I think it was about a year later, and we got married. We didn't quite defend the title. We took seventh 2 years in a row. Those were some tough years. I wanted that title. The next year we took third, so we were getting closer, but not quite where I wanted to be and where the team wanted to be. And then I ended up getting injured, so I ended up redshirting for an entire year. I got surgery on my foot in October, and then about 6 months later, I finally was able to start training and running again. And I ended up qualifying to race at the Olympic trials in the 10,000 meter. I ended up running well, I placed fifth, and it kind of gave me that spark, that hope that I was back, I'm coming back.
He had shared with us in the summer that he had a vision for the team, and he talked about the build.
From the start of the summer, we had 16 weeks to build our house, to build a championship team. And it started with the foundation, with the basement, and a lot of miles, a lot of long tempo runs. And as the weeks progressed, we built the main floor and put up the walls and put on the roof. And we started picking up the pace and started racing and started doing speed workouts. And when it was time to move into the house, it was time to race the Nationals.
We knew the national championship was gonna be tight. Oklahoma State really was the favorite. I think my guys took it personal. I think they actually went out, started a little too fast, because when we did the first score check, 2K into this 10K race, we were ahead by about 45 points. That's about like a 3-touchdown lead in a football game in the first quarter.
I had been preparing and building for this moment for years. My team, we had this perfect build, this perfect season of months of hard work and training and belief.
Every year he said, Mom, I went in thinking we could win a national title. And we know from ninth grade until now that several years have elapsed, but he was finally able to accomplish that goal with his team.
We did it. We planned this, we executed it, and we did it.
After the race, he told me, Mom, he hugged me and said, that's all I ever wanted was that national team title.
11 seasons is a roller coaster. The highest highs, the lowest lows. It takes phenomenal mental fortitude. And that championship was the payday.
We went out to take pictures with the trophies on the course, and my coach hands me his phone. It's my dad. And he informed me that my wife, Morgan, who was 9 months pregnant at the time, was going to labor.
From that moment on, it was the celebration had ended, and he was preparing for a new celebration, that of welcoming his new son to the family.
And I was on the plane to Provo within an hour and a half of that phone call. I was just praying that I'd make it home in time. I did not want to miss this.
3 days later, as he held his little boy in his arms, I think he realized, this is also what I've always wanted.
It was the biggest weekend of his life. You don't get to carry around the trophy. You have it in your heart, but you don't get to carry that trophy with you. When I see him with Colton, that's the real trophy. He is just as good a dad as he is a runner, and that he will carry with him physically forever.
He knows what's important, and he knows how to handle tough things, and he transitioned that into being a father, and I hope our son idolizes him one day.
I've just felt so much love, and you know, I'm gonna put everything into this next chapter, because my family's everything to me. And, you know, the most important build is starting. They're gonna see Dad run a lot of more races, and we're gonna find that balance of, you know, achieving my goals but also achieving our family goals.
Feeling all the things now. Yeah. Amazing stuff. And what an incredible push for a championship as he then celebrates by welcoming his first son into the world.
Yeah, and what an amazing analogy, him talking about the build, and that it you start with the foundation, and once you've got the foundation, then you can build the walls, and then you work your way up, and you put in the time and you put in the work, and then it pays off the way it did for him in terms of his his race, but also with his family. What a fantastic story.
Also, for any people who are seeking a wife, apparently you just have to compliment their pants. I thought that was a hilarious story.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty
great
funny.
Stuff. And shout out to our Deep Blue crew for always doing an elite job. I mean that sincerely. Still on the way, which game do you believe is the toughest on the BYU football schedule in 2025? More responses to that question of the day on BYUSN.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. It's been a minute, Shep, we've hosted a show together.
Look, tis the season in the summer because our schedules go nonstop from about August through the end of May. So once we hit June, it's kind of vacation time. You were gone for a couple of weeks, then I was gone for a couple of weeks. So we really haven't done a show together in about a month. So it's good to see you.
Well, we have plenty to discuss today as we reunite on the desk. With that said, I'll rise and shout. Let's get right to what's trending.
We want competition at every position. Competition will make sure that you get the best guys playing. I feel good about the entire team and our depth. So a lot more to prove. Perform on the field, and then we want to get this QB factory up and running again.
Destined for a quarterback battle after all at BYU. Many of you have been very active on social media over the weekend, and we know many of you have seen several updates regarding the legal situation surrounding BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. So let's give you a quick summary. KSL and ESPN's Pete Thamel lead a group that is reporting that a civil lawsuit against the quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, is now likely to be dismissed. Attorneys for both sides filed a joint motion to dismiss the case earlier this morning. Coupled with that, several reports also, including ESPN's Pete Thamel, say that Jake Retzlaff plans to transfer away from BYU in the immediate future. So, Shep, naturally, we're looking at BYU football going, okay, what does that mean for the Cougars? What's next? If the report holds true and Jake Retzlaff is indeed leaving BYU, what in the world do the Cougars do next at quarterback in 2025?
Well, now there is a quarterback battle if this is indeed true, and we get an opportunity to follow this throughout fall camp to see exactly where A-Rod and Kalani and this coaching staff wants this offense to go and the guy that they feel is best suited to take the reins of an offense that we know and have talked so much about that has so much production coming back and some real key playmakers to be able to utilize. And I think that's sort of what my lasting impression of this whole thing is whoever the quarterback is, and we're going to go over the guys that will be in the mix in a second, but whoever gets the reins of this offense, boy, what a luxury do they have to have the offensive line that they will, to have the playmakers at receiver and at running back. They're going to be able to walk into a situation where you've got a ready-made offense. The other part about this is guys like Trayson Borgay and McKay Hillstead, guys like this, they were in this system last year. And yes, they did not start, they did not play a game, but they were around this system for an entire year. So they understand the scheme. They understand terminology. You're not starting at zero for these guys. So let's go over who we're talking
about.
Let's
do it. And come on, it's never ideal to be in this circumstance where you have to now shift your position and you're not going to have your incumbent coming back and you're in this situation. So it's not easy. And let me speak collectively for all of us at BYU Sports Nation. Whatever happens to Jake in his football career, wherever he lands, we certainly wish him the best and hope it all works out for him. But now, naturally, as a BYU TV, BYU Sports Nation show, we have to think about what's next for BYU football. So to your point, Shep, let's lay out the three options that BYU is looking at to be the starting quarterback.
All right, let's start with Treyson Borgay. Obviously, does have starting experience. Eight starts with Western Michigan. He was the 2022 Southern Arizona High School Player of the Year. So obviously a really good high school quarterback. 1,300 yards passing, six touchdowns and two interceptions while at Western Michigan, but then transferred to BYU in 2024, as mentioned before, did not play in a game last season. So even though he's not started here, the good news is he does have starting experience in college football and has shown to be a very good passer.
Two clear advantages for Treyson in this mix of quarterbacks, beginning with, as far as calendars go, he has been with the program the longest of the three, which means, naturally, he's had the most time to be mentored and tutored by Aaron Roderick, to watch from the sideline what's happening with BYU football, to be in the playbook longer than most. Also, at 6 feet 2 inches, he, compared to a guy like McKay Hillstead, has a significant advantage.
Who's 5'10", by the way.
In his sight lines, okay? The size of Treyson Borgay should be and will be an advantage in this competition. But as we get to McKay Hillstead, we'll talk about some of the things that he does that maybe Treyson doesn't do as well. Notably, Treyson's not as good of a runner as the other two quarterbacks we're going to talk about. The thing I'll add here as we talk about all three, Jason, is while it is not convenient or fun to have to shift position right now, late June, and get ready to do this, BYU's schedule is conducive more than other years to ramping up a new quarterback because the non-conference on paper is not a world beater. I mean, BYU has FCS, you have Stanford at home, and then you're at East Carolina, and even the first three games in the Big 12, the first six together will allow whoever the quarterback is, you would think, to ease into things before it gets really tough in the back six. So that is an advantage for all three.
Well, and it goes back to what this team has coming back on offense. If you're going to be in a situation of trying to get a new quarterback, you know, with a couple of months before the season starts, this is the kind of offense that you want to put them in because of Chase Roberts. And, I mean, all of these guys. You have so many playmakers on offense, and you're coming off of a year that built so much confidence offensively that I feel like this is an offense that really can pick up where it left off.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day, which is how does the reported change at quarterback impact your expectations for BYU football in 2025? Kate_Goodman3 chimes in on Instagram and says, it doesn't. Still have an elite defense, good offensive line, good running back, tight end, and wide receiver room. No change at all. Okay. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at Mike Z, just me too on X, who says, with the talent level on the offensive side of the ball, as long as the quarterback can get the ball to the playmakers and be able to extend the play, doesn't matter to me. The defense will keep BYU in the game.
The doom and gloom that's out there on social media.
Well, there goes the season.
No. This team is still very, very good.
Today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about A.J. DeBonsa with Team USA in Switzerland and Delaney Gibb with Team Canada and Chile representing BYU basketball, representing their countries, the United States and Canada.
Live update with A.J. versus Cameroon. He's got 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Team USA currently leads Cameroon 104-67. So let's do some math on the air. That's a 37-point advantage right now.
I don't know how much time is left, but I'm going to assume the USA is going to pull this one off.
You're confident? Well, I think they can hold on,
I don't
Jason.
Think there's a 37-0 run or whatever it was.
What's AJ's rating in an EA Sports college game?
99?
It's as high as you can go. That's probably it.
Our thanks to today's guests, BYU football's Parker Kingston and Paisley Johnson-Hardy, who's back at BYU as a women's basketball assistant coach.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand. You can find them at BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Kyle Van Noy. We'll see you tomorrow. And seriously, how do you rate Keanu Tanuvasa as an 85?
Disrespect. Go Cougs!
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.